think that a lot of times we believe that, like, God wants to make us feel bad about our behavior. And that is just not what's accurate here. And, like, praying God's word is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Lindsay.
And welcome to the Find and Follow podcast, where our goal is to help you engage your faith outside of Sunday morning. We are joined today by our friend, Rebecca Woodman. Welcome back to the podcast,
hey,
Rebecca.
Guys. Glad you're
fun.
Here.
Yeah,
so
good
glad
morning.
To have you with us. You are the director, executive director of Renew Charlotte, counselor, pastor, and just been a friend to both of us for a lot of years.
Y'all.
So grateful to have you with us today. We are in our series on Lent.
Yes.
And in this series on Lent, we are diving deeper into practices and unpacking them a little bit to help us really prepare for Easter and sit in this season. So, to just slow down a little bit.
Slow it down.
Slowing down. So can you tell us a little bit about our topic today, which is praying scripture?
Yeah.
So
I love it. I love this. I'm, like, passionate about it. If you see my Bible, it's, like, worn out.
Look at her Bible.
I mean,
you need to go to YouTube now and look at
it's
Rebecca's
like an
Bible.
Artifact.
I love it.
It is an artifact.
It should be in a museum one day. If only I had something.
Your museum. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If I was famous, maybe it could go in a museum. Okay. So basically, I think that this is probably one of the most important things that we can do. Because in our spiritual life, well, most important thing we can do in general, but especially in our spiritual life, because praying God's word, like, actually makes it alive. And I think one of the things that breaks my heart is that we have this belief in our culture that, like, this is dead material, that's no longer relevant to us, that it is, you know, that it doesn't speak to us. But actually, if you read your Bible, you know differently, because it is, it will speak straight to your heart. And praying God's word is basically just like praying his word back to him. And I love it because it's like this reminder of the promises that he gives us and that his promises are unconditional. So I always talk about how, you know, in Joel, it says that I will restore the years the locusts have eaten away. It's not I might or maybe I will, you know, that when you're praying back God's word, the promises are so definite. And so, like, I mean, reassuring and comforting. And it also just reminds us that he wants good for us. And so it's just a way for us to, like, understand it, absorb it, but then also, like, be reminded. And the thing that's, you know, really special about Lent is that it's, like, this refocusing. You know, it's the world is cuckoo. And it is grabbing for us in so many different directions. And what I love about Lent is that it's not just the church, but it is our culture that has said, actually, we want to slow down. We want to refocus on God. And so praying his word and kind of giving him back the meat that he's already given us, you know, is like one of the easiest ways, especially because, you know, many times we're like, well, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. So it's like giving it back. And, you know, God's word says, when you call on me, like when you read my word, when you call on me, I will listen and I will answer. And, yeah, so.
Can you unpack that a little bit more of praying God's word back to him? Like, what posture is that? Is it like, hey, God, you said this, you have to do this?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's probably different for everybody. I would say for me that it's just like I'm going to find something in God's word. And I always say start in Psalms, because if you don't know, you know, if you're not familiar with God's word or if it feels very daunting to you, it's like, okay, you can go to Psalms because it's written by David. And if you know anything about David, right, like he's this very like emotionally transparent, raw, super broken dude. And so if you go to Psalms, like for me, what I do, Lindsay, is I would just like start reading like, okay, you know, my heart is broken and the Lord says, like, I'm just actually reading back the words. You want me to try it?
Yeah.
You want to play this out?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's hard for me to explain it without actually doing it.
No, this is great.
I think we should do it.
Okay. So these girls know that, like, my very favorite book in the Bible is Habakkuk. Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all, he's underrated. Nobody knows about him. I actually just, like, got lost trying to find him because the book's so short. Mm-hmm. He's in the Old Testament. And basically, Habakkuk is a minor prophet, mm-hmm. to give a little context, which doesn't mean he's, you know, less significant. It just means that his mm-hmm. message, like his prophecy given from the Lord was shorter. Mm-hmm. So basically what's going down in the book of Habakkuk is that there's this like attack that's coming on Babylon, and there's this threat of Babylon coming, and Habakkuk, this minor prophet, is saying, I mean, and here we go, let's try it out. This is chapter 1, verse 1 of Habakkuk. And it's like, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? And so if you're praying scripture, just to kind of walk through this, like you're going to read this. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? And so in my life, that looks like, God, how long do I have to continue to ask you to change these circumstances? Lord, you see that I can't fix, you know, the decisions that my children make. I can't fix the way that my husband may act. I can't fix all these things, God, that just are not working in my life. How long are you going to see this and not like and not choose to rescue me? Mm-hmm. You know? That's all it is. Like you're reading the passage and then you're personalizing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're saying like, okay, this is what's in God's word, as simple as it is. Now let me pull that back to my own life. Mm-hmm. And then if you keep going in Habakkuk, kind of like to follow this whole pattern, mm-hmm. in the third chapter, which is the last, because again, it's a short little guy. The very end is, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And so you just read that back. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines. So God, still, like I can't get life to work. I still, you know, I still feel very lonely. Mm-hmm. I still feel as though my marriage isn't working the way that I want it to. It's not what I thought it was in my head. And there, the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. And so God, I'm looking around and I'm just seeing like, I can choose to look at this, Father, from a place of, you know, what you're not doing, or I can choose to look at it from like what you say you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I have a choice here in the word that I love. Like, so when you're reading God's word, like what I would encourage you to do too, is like, look for the words that stand out to you. Mm. So like, this is a word I love, yet. So it's a choice, right? Mm-hmm. So like still broken, still not working. Lent is about refocusing on God. So I'm refocusing back on God. Mm-hmm. And this word yet, I have it circled. Even though all that is, you know, messed up, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my Savior. So like, yet God, I'm going to choose to listen to you. I'm going to choose to believe that what you say is true. Because if you circle back, and again, you're just looking in scripture, you're literally just reading God's word and praying it back to him and personalizing it to your own heart. If you go back to verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5, look at, God says back to Habakkuk, which this is very important. I should have told you this earlier. He says back to him, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Mm. So you're going back and you're like, though the olive crop fails, like, so everything, like there are still things in my life that I thought God was going to change. Mm-hmm. I thought once I started going to church, once I entered into biblical community, once I went to therapy, once I started exercising again, like once I started doing all these things that God wanted me to do, that he was going to fix it for me. And that's not always the case, but yet I will make a choice. Mm-hmm. I will choose. And so God, I choose right now to surrender this to you, to give this back to you, because you tell me that what you're going to do is more than I can imagine. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think what we see is we actually see the character of God in the midst of praying scripture. Mm-hmm. You see his faithfulness, like
that's right.
from verse 1 to verse 5, but then even looking at the end of chapter 3, mm-hmm. you can go, I'm not seeing what I don't see, but I know the truth of that God, you're faithful.
That's right.
So right. that's mm-hmm. a beautiful picture.
So you're just taking mm-hmm. his words, right? And like claiming mm-hmm. the promises of it.
I think Chris has said this. I don't mm-hmm. know if I'm giving Chris credit for this. It might be his quote, but he's like, if we don't know what God's saying, go back to what he said. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what he's doing, go back to what
yes.
he's done.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. This is an exercise of like, well, things are uncertain in my life. I'm not sure. I don't know yeah. what's going on, but yeah. hey, this is what you've said. And this yeah. is what you've done. You've been faithful before. You'll be faithful mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. So, which is essentially what this practice is.
That's mm-hmm. right. Good. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So we've talked a little bit about the practice and how to do mm-hmm. it, but like, why do we focus on it in Lent? Like,
mm-hmm. well, Lent is about refocusing on God, right? As we were just saying earlier. And there are like three kind of tenets of Lent. There is prayer, mm-hmm. there is fasting, and there is giving. And so I'm just kind of thinking like, and I love how, you know, things that are related to God a lot of times are in threes or twelves. Mm-hmm. Here's a three, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thinking, if it's one of the three major components of Lent, first of all, like mm-hmm. God intended for it to be important. But I also think like if the purpose of Lent is to refocus back on God, you know, there are a thousand voices that are going to compete to get in our head. Mm-hmm. But this is the only, like when you think about it, really, God's word is really the only lasting word of hope that we have. Because it is promised. It's not a maybe. And, you know, it's so personal. Like if you read God's word and you, again, like go back and personalize it, you can't fail to hear him speaking to you. Mm-hmm. It might not be in a way that you expected. You might have to dig a little bit, but he is going to speak to you. So it's like refocusing back. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think about that's important about doing this during Lent is that, you know, we're always like, well, how do I know if I'm praying God's will? How do I know, like, if what I'm praying is actually what God wants for
That's
me?
Good.
Yeah. And when you're praying God's word and you're just like putting that in your mind, you can't be, you can't be out of alignment with God's will. You are realigning yourself to his will, which I think is part of that refocusing.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I do think there's something to be said in this season. How do we refocus, as we slow down and look toward what is coming, mm-hmm. but we also acknowledge where we are
mm-hmm.
and going, hey, I'm the one that moved, not mm-hmm. God, you know,
right.
like mm-hmm. I'm the one that kind of stepped out.
Yes.
Not kind of, I do.
Do you really? Susanna?
I do. I really do. Oh, like
what
this.
Does that look like? Just kidding.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Well, what scripture do you pray when you do that?
That's a really good question. Jesus, please help me and forgive me.
Yeah.
I think the scripture for me that I think of a lot, and we talked about this, like the Psalms are a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Psalm 23 comes to mind a lot for me. Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. I have all I need.
That's right.
And just those two lines repeated throughout the day in the midst of challenge for me is something that just kind of brings me back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what, I mean, the Lord is my shepherd. So, okay. So what you're saying, Father, in that your promise there is that you're going to lead me.
Mm-hmm.
That I can be a dumb sheep and you're going to lead me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a shepherd does.
I like that dumb little sheep.
There we go.
Aren't we all?
They're cute. I don't know about us, but
Susanna, I was thinking about is like when you relate praying God's word back to Lent, mm-hmm. Lent is also about like understanding your own sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. That's the whole purpose of it, right?
Yeah.
And so like you're recognizing this is where I know I need God mm-hmm. because I failed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about it is like this is the nucleus of mercy.
Mm.
This is the place where God like gives his mercy, pours it back to us time and time again. We're like, I've screwed this up. Well, I messed that one up. Well, I need forgiveness here. I can't get this right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but I love you. Yeah. Like that's what his word. It's like, I love you. You can always return to me. I am mm-hmm. always there for you. So mm-hmm. you're like reinserting, you're taking out the sin, if you will, and
mm-hmm.
you're reinserting the mercy of God,
mm-hmm.
you know?
The mercy and truth of God.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. and the promise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Okay, so here's a question.
Okay,
You do this. We know that you love Habakkuk. What's an experience that you've had through doing, like praying scripture in your life
mm-hmm.
that you've seen the impact of it?
Yeah, so you know that there were 2 years, 2012, 2013, we lost two sons stillborn back to back. It was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
it's crazy to me to think that that was 11 years ago now. It's crazy. But my most poignant example was after we were leaving the doctor's office, after our first son, Owen, and I've told this story a lot, I have this like spiritual marker in time of driving from this, you know, OBGYN office in Ballantyne across that bridge where I think there's like the Greenway there or something, that Ballantyne Bridge. And it was as though Jesus himself was sitting next to me in my car. And it was, remember what I told you in the word, when you are weak, I am strong. And that became like my, like, you know, my lifeline. And it was, that's really God's word. Like that's a very simple passage in scripture that when you are at your weakest place, like that's when I'm strong. Like that's when I am in you. And so I just remember that. And then, you know, just walking through the grief of those two losses, you're so emptied out that I recognized and I actually grew in my appreciation for my parents because they put scripture in my head and my heart, even when I didn't realize it. So because I was growing up, they were putting, you know, I was in church and I went to summer camps and I think I didn't understand the long-term implication of that until I got to this place where I was in deep grief and I was emptied out and God in like his amazing way, like that was what filled my mind. And a lot of times, you know, if you've ever like interacted with people who have severe memory loss or Alzheimer's, you know, like that's all they're giving back to you because that's what's in them. And so I say like, even if that's not where you are right now, like even if you're in your 40s and your 50s and you're like, I don't know God's word, you know what? You just put it up on your wall. You put it like on the dashboard of your car. Like you just put it in front of you and by God's divine way, he will put that in your heart in ways that you don't even know.
I watched this. My mom had a stroke when she was, and she was like 64 when she had the stroke. And we were, and it was a frontal lobe stroke. And so that affects your short-term memory. But the things that she was saying is the scripture that she knew.
That's right.
The scripture was coming out, like the hymns were coming out, the songs that she had sung, it, like those were the things that came out. So like it is a legitimate thing, like what you've put in will come out in times that are like hard.
And have y'all ever heard me tell the story about my bathroom wall?
No, I don't think I do.
When I was growing
Have we? I'm not sure about this.
Well, I tell the story because it kind of goes back to, there was just like the simple pick, like framed probably Michael's $5 picture on my bathroom wall. And I never paid it a lick of attention. I probably would have looked back and been like, that thing is nasty. Why would you even put that up on your wall? Like that is not aesthetically pleasing. Okay. But it was basically a condensed word of God. And it was, God has not promised, sky's always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. I never...
That was amazing.
I never meant to memorize it. Never. But that is an example of that's like, impressive. I just looked at it every day as I was blowing, drying my hair, or I was putting my makeup on as a kid and a teenager. And I get to be an adult, and that's what God like brings back to you.
That's beautiful.
That was impressive.
I very impressed.
Well, don't be.
How many years was that, though? She said, don't be.
I mean, that was, I don't even know my parents know. Like, they probably threw that thing out in a yard sale. And but that is
really cool, though.
Right?
No, yeah,
that's very cool. That's just like an example of it.
Well, I do think there's something. The practice of praying scripture helps us put scripture in our heart and in our mind. And so that what you're saying is it's never too late.
It's good.
And it all like God's word does not return void. Like it is always going to bring back.
It's going to produce fruit. It can't not. That's who God is. It cannot.
That's right.
He can't go against His character.
Isn't that wild, though?
That's wild.
That is. It's a beautiful like reminder.
And I always get confused, like the author of that, I didn't memorize her name, but it's either like Helen Flint or Annie Flint. For some reason, I can't remember. So if you want to Google it,
okay, we'll
look
Google
up
it.
Helen or Annie
Flint. Helen or Annie Flint. Oh my gosh. That's so
okay. Okay. So here's a question for you. Like, when did you, like, okay, so that scripture, that verse that verse of prose or poetry that was on your wall stuck with you.
That really is like a condensed version of scripture.
It really is. So when did you actually put praying scripture into practice in your life?
Yeah, so that's tough. And I mean, if in all honesty, I would tell you that I didn't know that I needed to do that really until later in life. I didn't even honestly know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, what? But I think when you get to the point that you literally have no more human capacity, it goes back to like, God just brings you to the fundamentals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's what happened. And, you know, I took a class when I was in seminary, the dynamics of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember just the simplicity of like some of these disciplines. And I was like, oh my gosh, like God actually really shows up in that. So I don't have a time when I would say that I had this like awakening moment. But what I would tell you is that I'm embarrassed that I waited so long in my life to understand that it was even something that was so like productive, I guess, and so like engaging, because yes, like God wants you to experience his power through his word and to understand his character and what he's capable of and align yourself to his will, but really like what he wants more than anything is to have a relationship with you. And like you have a relationship with somebody when you know their heart. You read God's word, you learn his heart. And so I would say that I don't really, it was later in life, and it was when I was totally emptied out. What I did before that was I would journal. And so I would like kind of like write out God's word and then how it related to me, which is very similar. I mean, it's not really much different, but journaling was just like an easier go-to for me.
Well, and I think you can start at either. Like, I think that's something like if somebody's like, hey, I've never done this before, no matter how old we are, we can start.
Or just like I said, like just put up, like find a couple, you know, you can use the coffee mug, all the coffee mug scriptures or all the like, you know, things that are very common. You can go on Pinterest and find scripture that are, you know, that feel personal to you, and then just put it up. Like just have it in your life, like in your car, on your mirror. Like,
and that's like a really good way to like pray for other people. I know we're like talking about prayers for ourselves, but sometimes like people are walking through a lot of hard things.
Absolutely.
Like life's really hard and it's really messy. And, at least for me, sometimes I'm like, I don't, you know, what words, what am I praying for people? Like, what words do I have? I don't have adequate things to pray for this person, this situation. And so that's why going back to the word of God is huge. And I think, and putting their name into it, I thought I really liked that practice. But I think for me, like, walking through like grief and loss, praying scripture has been pretty vital. And there's a lot I don't know in loss and grief and in general, but the thing I do know is that God is with me. And so the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That's the thing I continuously come back to.
And he will bind up their wounds.
Yes. And so like when I'm walking through grief and loss, like that scripture is like constantly in my head. I'm like, okay, the Lord's close to me. The Lord's close to me. I don't know what he's doing. And I mean, this is painful, but he's close. He's close. He's close. And with others, if they're walking through something, that's like the thing that I'll constantly say to them.
And
I'm like, this is what we know. Yes.
That's right. And he promises that he's going to bind up your wounds.
Yes.
He's not saying like, again, like he's not saying I might be close to you. He's like, I am close to you. It is a definite.
Yeah. And that's the foundation. Like that's what like I can cling to. And that's what people can cling to. It's like, okay, he's close to me. He'll bind up my wounds. I can like, I can stand on that, you know? And what else would you stand on if you can't stand on that? So
I'm so glad you shared that, because I think there's so much to be said about when we don't have words in scripture, praying scripture is the best place to go to when we don't have the words, because it does remind us that he is present.
That's right.
He is constant. He is here with us.
That's right.
And because he feels far away.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I do believe it's such a really good way to pray for others.
And sometimes you don't even have to translate it into prayer. Sometimes you can just read God's word.
Yeah.
And that's just enough. You know, that's just enough.
That's good.
But but I love the idea of like putting people's names in it. Yes. I was just, when you guys were talking, I was just thinking about Psalm 73:26. Again, if you go to anything in Psalms, you're it's going to be an easy start place for you. But 73 verse 26, one of my very favorites, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so I feel like that is so connected to Lent. Like my flesh is going to fail. I'm going to make choices that
I don't want to make. Mm-hmm. And my heart may feel like my heart may, life may take my heart to distractions that I'm not proud of. But God, you are the strength of my heart. Like, God, really, it's about what you're going to put in. Mm-hmm. And you are my portion forever. And if I have you, mm-hmm. like, no matter what I'm walking through, mm-hmm. whether I understand it or not, the mm-hmm. truth is that you are enough.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good. That's really good. Mm-hmm. I'd love for us to take just a minute. Mm-hmm. We've kind of been through Habakkuk. You just took us through Psalm 73, like, a little bit. But let's just take one more passage that you would pick and kind of walk us through it if somebody hasn't done it before.
You want to do Psalm 23?
Let's do that.
Okay. You know, we're just choosing as we go here.
It.
Can you find it?
Just yeah. joking. It's Psalm.
She is questioning me. I mean, my Bible is a little bit of a mess, but it's got a lot of heart in here.
Amen.
All right. So we're in Psalm 23. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." So if I'm doing this, I'm reading this again. "The Lord is my shepherd." So God, you are leading me. You are taking care of me. You are pushing your little, what are those things called? Those little, like, God, you're steering me, your staff.
Your staff.
Yeah. Like, it's going to talk about that later. Yeah. You're going to use your staff yeah. to mm-hmm. move me in the right direction. So, God, there's nothing else that I need. You are the one thing that the world cannot take away, and you are the one thing that matters. Mm-hmm. And you will take me to quiet waters, and you will restore my soul. So, really, God, just help me to get away from life with you. Help me to prioritize quiet with you. Mm-hmm. "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So, Father, you're going to provide a path that I can walk down, God, that is going to lead me to righteousness, because you say in your word that you will not leave us like broken, that you will not let us be steered away. Again, we are the dumb sheep and you are the shepherd. Thank you for that, God. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and if you're like me, you're familiar with grief, and you understand what the shadow of death looks like. And if you're not familiar with it, you at some point in life will have to be, because that's part of life. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." God, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that, God, I can go nowhere that you are not there. I can make no decisions that you haven't already foreseen. And your rod and your staff, there it is, they comfort me. And so, Father, thank you that you will always find a way to be our Heavenly Father, that even though life may not be working the way that we want it to, that you will always bring us back to a place where you're taking care of us. And your mercy, God, it's more than we can understand. Thank you for being the one thing, God, that the world can't take away, and the one thing that matters most.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. That's good. Any final encouragement about praying scripture?
Yeah, I just think I would say, like, don't make it such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Don't make it, like, don't be intimidated by it. Just, I promise you that this word is, like, so active mm-hmm. and alive and personal mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so all you have to do is get that Bible off your coffee table, dust off the dust, and, you know, and begin to read it, and not, just don't be intimidated. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times we believe that, like, God wants to make us feel bad about our behavior. Mm-hmm. And that is just not what's accurate here. And, like, mm-hmm. praying God's word is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And it's his word says, you know, we don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf. And, like, you can just read God's word, and he is going to have a conversation with you. And I love this. Like, I'm passionate about this, because I just feel like God is always waiting to hear from us, and he's always waiting to speak to us, not critique us. You know, mm-hmm. the world wants to make us, you know, feel like we're being judged. The world wants to put us in this comparison trap. But God's word wants to build us up. God's word wants to encourage us. That's all he can do. He's reinserting mercy and love and, you know, his unconditional promises with everything, like in light of our own intimidation or our own fear or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just say, don't make it a big deal. Just open it up. And you know what? Ask somebody, like ask one of your church leaders if you don't know. Like, just get a couple pastors. Go on Pinterest. I'm telling you, Pinterest, there's some pretty ones on there too. That's so good. And just begin to pray it. Like, it doesn't matter if you're 77 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sarah had a baby when she was 100 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. Like, start today. Start now. Mm. And that's really good. Let God, like, refill you with the good stuff.
Mm. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being with us today.
Mm. Yeah, man.
Would you just close us out with prayer?
Speaking of prayer, we've talked about it and done it a couple times, but pray scripture again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love to. Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
So Father God, your word does tell us that you are with us always, even to the end of our days. Mm. And your word tells us that that the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword, meaning that it will always speak to us. It will always pierce us. And God, to convict us and not to critique us. And Lord, I just pray for my friends who are listening that that they would draw close to you, that... again, when you come close to me, I will be there. When you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And so, God, I pray that we would seek you with our whole heart. I pray that we would be able to shut off the world long enough, God, to just allow you to reinsert the good from your word. And I just pray, God, that we would allow your Holy Spirit, God, your word, your mercy, your love, your unconditional promises to be the final word and the loudest voices in our head. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for being here. Okay. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Until next time.